To turn to our scripture reading for this morning as we turn to 1 John. So John, who wrote the Gospel of John, obviously also wrote four other books in scripture that we know of. He wrote the book of Revelation as a vision that he received, but he also wrote three letters, 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, which come before Revelation and the letter to Jude. And these letters were written as sort of an addendum to the Gospel. So John wrote the Gospel for the church he was serving, and then he was exiled to an island. But he was still able to correspond, and so people from his church would write him and ask questions and not be sure what he meant. And so he wrote these letters back to them as a way of sort of explaining and expounding upon what he had written in his gospel. So we're reading from 1 John chapter 4, starting with verse 7. And this is what John writes. He says, "Beloved, let us love one another, because love is from God. Everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love God does not know God, for God is love. God's love was revealed among us in this way. God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that God loved us and sent God's Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Beloved, since God loved us so much, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us, and God's love is perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in him and God in us because God has given us his Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father has sent his Son as the Savior of the world. God abides in those who confess that Jesus is the Son of God, and they abide in God. So we have known and believed the love God has for us. God is love. And those who abide in love abide in God, and God abides in them. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness on the day of judgment, because as God is, so we are in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. For fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not reached perfection in love. Those who say, 'I love God,' and hate their brothers or sisters are liars. For those who do not love a brother or sister whom they have seen cannot love God whom they have not seen. The commandment we have from God is this: those who love God must also love their brothers and sisters." So may God add a blessing to this word that we have been given this morning. Well, this is not the scenario we envisioned when we decided to preach on our vision and mission statement for Lent. Our original plan was to spend time on each part of our mission statement, exploring how well we've done in living that out these last 5 years, and beginning to dream about who God is calling us to be in the next 5 years and beyond. Our goal was to come out of this Lenten season with some feedback and some inspiration from you, Crestwood Church family, about who God wants us to be moving forward. But now, it looks like Lent is going to last a lot longer than 6 weeks. That may not be true on the church calendar, but it certainly feels that way in our souls, doesn't it? This unending season of Lent that we are trapped in. Each day reminds us that our world is irrevocably changed. We have no idea what the world looks like when we emerge from this cocoon of quarantine. But we do know things are going to be very different. Very different. And yet, I believe some things won't change. God will still be God, and we will still be the church, and we will still have a mission to fulfill in making God's kingdom present here in the world, probably now more than ever. So we're still going to talk about our mission statement, because we don't get a pass from living out our faith just because our world is changing around us. In fact, it's imperative that we keep our faith alive. So the vision statement we put into place 5 years ago said the Crestwood's vision is connecting people to God and each other. That statement has become more salient in the last 2 weeks than it has in the past 5 years. I don't know about you, but one of the biggest struggles for me during this time has been the sense of isolation. I was feeling that already, and it's only been exacerbated by the restrictions that have been placed upon us. Extroverts are going crazy being trapped in our own homes. I started naming all my furniture just so I'd have someone to talk with. Just so you know, Carl the couch and Otto the ottoman do not get along. I think they both have a thing for Lola the love seat. But no matter our personality type, there's a fundamental sense of disconnect we feel right now. So the job of your church staff has changed significantly. It has shifted to focusing on more of this vision statement. How can we help you stay connected to God and each other? We're using social media and technology more than ever to make this happen. Elders are calling people to check in. We're posting daily devotions and musical meditations. We had our board meeting last week via Zoom, which is a video conferencing website. As a minister, Trish, I think this counts as an in-home visit when we do the Zoom calls, right? Yeah, we made 13 of those at once. It was nice. We're going to continue to work hard to help you stay connected to God and each other. So for our mission statement, today we're looking at the line that says we care for each other and the stranger. Care for each other and the strangers, our mission statement. Paul writes in Galatians about the importance of caring for each other when he says, bear one another's burdens, and by doing so, you fulfill the law of Christ. We're not supposed to focus only on our own needs and challenges, which in times like these, it's really easy to turn inward and just focus on ourselves and focus on self-preservation and survival. But living this life is more than about just living it for ourselves. We're supposed to be mindful of those around us and stay open to the ways we can extend God's care and comfort to others. Because sometimes life gives us more than we can handle. And many of us may be feeling that way right now. Sometimes our burdens feel too heavy for one person to carry. That's certainly true during these times when we feel like we're carrying so much all by ourselves. We are called to carry each other's burdens. I love my dad. I need to say that up front because after I tell you the story, you might not think that that is true. There was one year when I almost gave my dad up for adoption. It was a year I helped him move 3 different times. I didn't mind helping him move the first time. Didn't mind helping him move the second time. But I know he was in trouble the third time when he called me and started our conversation not with the usual, hey boy, what's up? But with, greetings, my beloved offspring. This third move was to a third floor apartment that required negotiating a narrow, twisting set of steps. That'd have been okay if Dad didn't have a treadmill, a water bed, and one of those old console TVs that were in a wooden cabinet. We eventually managed to get everything up there, but along the way I had an insightful revelation about my relationship with my dad. I used to think that I got my bed back from my dad, but I now realize it wasn't inherited. It was voluntarily given to me by the amount of times he asked me to help it move. A body is not meant to carry that kind of load alone. And yet the burdens we carry during these times have the same kind of debilitating effects on us. We try to shoulder this weight, thinking it's up to us to carry around this troublesome diagnosis or dark depression or work-related stress or the sense of isolation and disconnect. And it's usually only after we've passed a breaking point that we then reach out for help. That's one of the difficult realities of being humans. We are so prideful. We don't want people to know we're vulnerable. We don't want people to know that we need to be cared for. And that's where the church comes in. A church community is meant to be a place where people can unload their burdens without fear or judgment or criticism. No matter what your baggage looks like, no matter what size or shape the skeletons in your closet, a safe place is the church, a sanctuary to receive welcome, acceptance, care. The same thing God offers each of us graciously and in abundance. And that's what John talks about in our reading today. He's telling his congregation that no matter how different people are, no matter whether their colors are red or blue for their politics or their college basketball teams, no matter how much the other person just acts like a self-righteous jerk sometimes, the foundation of our relationship with each other should be the love and respect that we have for God. John says, if you claim to love God, but you don't care for each other, you're a liar. You're just blowing smoke. Because God is love. And it's interesting, the Greek word for love here that John uses is agape. The Greeks have several words for love, but he uses agape, which is this selfless, other-focused love that knows no boundaries. Agape is this deep soul love, a love that's not dampened by what a person does because it's focused on who a person is, who God has created them to be. Agape love is the kind of love God has for us and the kind of love we are called to show to each other. And this implication of living out agape love brings a lot of understanding of how we are to offer care. It means that if we're loving with God's love, then there's no criteria someone has to meet in order to receive it. They don't have to reach a certain threshold of goodness or worthiness in order for us to care for them. We don't care for them because we like them. We care for them because they need caring for. That's a big relief to me because I admit that there are times in my life where I've thought and done things that have made me pretty unlovable. My guess is you may have done that as well. But caring for each other with agape love means we're willing to enter their situation, even if we can only do that virtually now, to help bear the pain and sadness and anxiety they are carrying while helping them to stay grounded in Jesus' love for them. And we have to be careful. We can't err too far one way or the other. We can't stand too far back and observe their pain from afar, but we can't get too close and enter into their pain so much we become enmeshed in it. And that balance is best illustrated in a drawing that's part of the Stephen ministry training. It shows a person down in a pit, the person who needs the care. And the person providing the care has one foot in the pit holding onto the person and one foot at the top of the pit holding onto a tree, which is Christ. And they're helping to pull them out of that pit. So our job as caregivers is to put one foot into a person's situation and keep one foot grounded in Christ's love to help pull that person out of the despair that they are feeling. Ultimately, the best way that we can care for each other is not to do for the other person what we think they need. It's to do for them what they need done. And sometimes that means putting ourselves in uncomfortable situations for the sake of caring for someone maybe we don't know. When I was in seminary, the pastor of the church where I was serving as a student minister asked me to visit one of our shut-ins that we had. I'd never met her before. I was really nervous about going and meeting someone that I'd never met before at a house I'd never been to. He warned me that Florence could be a bit cantankerous at times, but that she would probably welcome a visit. He said it'd be a good experience for you, which I think was his way of not having to make the visit himself. So when I got to her house, I noticed the lights were off and the blinds were drawn. I peered through the door and I saw Florence sitting in her darkened living room. So I knocked on the door. "Who is it?" she shouted. So I hollered through the door who I was, but she said, "Don't bother yelling, I can't hear." So I held up the Bible in my hand to show her, "Oh, look, I'm from the church." And she said, "Oh my God, you're one of those, don't come in." Finally, I nudged the door open and I said, I'm from St. Peter's, I'm here to visit you." She says, "Oh, well in that case, come on in." I spent a lovely hour visiting with Florence, learning about her life and the sadness with which she lived after her husband died. It was time so well spent. Caring is something we do really well here at Crestwood. Several of our ministries are designed to extend Crestwood's compassion to our fellow church members, our Stephen Ministry Program, our Heart to Heart Ministry, our Caregivers Ministry Team, all live out this statement. The challenge of our mission statement, though, that it gives us is not only to care for those who are like us, but to care for those who aren't like us. When we gather together again, I expect that the church may be take on a heightened priority in society. More people may be looking for faith, may be looking for hope in the midst of what they've gone through. There will be strangers passing through these doors of the church that we don't know. We maybe don't care about. Maybe we don't even like. But you're going to start to see names on the prayer list and in the crest that you aren't familiar with. And you may be hesitant to reach out and care for them, to provide for them. And yet God calls us to care for one another as a brother or a sister in Christ. Our care for them does not depend on our approval of them. It's driven solely by the fact that the other person needs to be cared for. The wonderful thing about this part of the mission statement is that we don't have to do anything special to fulfill it. We simply have to take the agape love that we have been given and to share it with others, both those we know and like and those we don't know and maybe don't like. So as we sit in isolation for the foreseeable future, I wonder if there's someone to whom you could reach out. A family member, an old friend, an old enemy. Maybe open up the church directory. Just call somebody. You never know when the right call at the right time can be this healing balm for someone who is burdened by the world we now live in. We are the body of Christ, and each of us needs the other to live in this world that we are in. Crestwood, let's stay connected.